If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.
Welcome to Leadership on the Line. I'm Dr. Burton Clark. Today's topic, Firefighter Seatbelt Safety 2010. My panel today consists of Fire Commissioner Lloyd Ayers with the Philadelphia Fire Department. Welcome, Commissioner Ayers.
Thank you very much, Dr. Clark.
Also joining us today will be Fire Commissioner Salvatore Cassano, Fire Commissioner with the City of New York. Until Commissioner Cassano gets here, Steve Reines, who is the Battalion Chief in charge of safety, will be participating today. Steve, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting us.
Super. Also joining us is Virginia Lutz. Virginia is a safety and occupational health specialist with NIOSH. She's on the Firefighter Fatality Investigation and Prevention Program. Welcome, Virginia.
Thank you for the opportunity, Dr. Clark.
And finally, President Guy Turner. Guy is the president of the Texas State Association of Firefighters. Welcome, Guy.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. It's a pleasure to be here.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
Today's topic, Firefighters Safety Seatbelts 2010. So to start us off, I'm going to go to Virginia Lutz, because Virginia has an overall picture of this whole question of firefighters and seatbelts and safety. So Virginia, what's NIOSH's picture on firefighters wearing their seatbelts and apparatus?
Well, Dr. Clark, when we began the push for seatbelts several years ago, back in 2005, in conjunction with the National Seatbelt Pledge, what we wanted to do was look at the overall picture and see just how the scope of the issue and the scope of the problem, and also to identify some of the reasons why that the fire service was having problems buckling up every time. But what we found as far as looking at the numbers was absolutely, it was just terrifying to me, actually. We did a 30-year study, a 10-year study. We did a random survey of fire departments to try and find out the usage and the reasons for not using. And what we found just briefly is that in 30 years, the past 30 years, there's been over 400 line-of-duty deaths because in motor vehicle crashes. We found that that equates equates to 76% were known not to be wearing their seat belts, which makes that about an average of 10 fire. We lost 10 firefighters a year because of motor vehicle crashes who were not wearing seat belts. And when we looked at that, that's an average of 30 years. And that was around the time, too, that we lost our 9 firefighters in Charleston, South Carolina. And what just really saddened me was the fact that for 30 years we've been losing that many firefighters every year because of the lack of seatbelt use. So that really started the impetus here at NIOSH to partner with you, Dr. Clark, and the National Fire Service to try and find some solutions and make recommendations and as far as program changes and as far as apparatus design, and to try and come up with some workable solutions for the fire service. But I have some information on some NIOSH investigations as well, and I can discuss that later if you'd like me to, but it's the same statistics across the board. And I even compared this with a national survey that was done by the Department of Transportation, where they found that if in this across the nation, in the across-the-road truck occupants, the over-the-road trucks, that if there was just an increase of 5% to 90% seatbelt use, it would save a monetary savings of $5.2 billion, and that a fatal injury reduced the risk of fatal injury by 60%. And the other statistic that they came up with that just parallels our fire service is that an unbelted occupant has a 75% of all occupants who were totally ejected from the vehicle suffered fatal injuries. So there are overwhelming statistics from every corner that promote the seatbelt use. And I think we have made great strides. As far as the year to date that I've been tracking, we have only had 4 motor vehicle fatalities, and none in apparatus, and none in fire apparatus. So I do think that the message is getting out, and it's, you know, we can just continue to push.
Well, super. Thank you. Commissioner Ayers, can you give us a little background on the Philadelphia Fire Department's experience with seatbelts and firefighters and apparatus?
Absolutely, Doctor. And in all candor, our experience has been less than satisfactory in that we have not yet achieved 100% compliance with our own policies and rules regarding the mandatory use of the seatbelts. It's absolutely a safety concern, just given the national statistics regarding line-of-duty deaths related to non-use of seatbelts. In fact, we recently experienced a near-miss. One of our unbelted firefighters fell from a responding apparatus. He was seriously injured, but could have easily been another name on the fallen firefighter memorial, and we take that and look at it very seriously. Only a few years ago, we had an experience which dramatically illustrated the value of seatbelt use. One of our vehicles was involved in a very serious accident on Interstate 95. The unbelted front seat passenger was ejected from the vehicle and suffered very serious and near-fatal injuries. It was a career-ending accident for him, and the belted driver who was in his seat, belted properly, he was uninjured, and he worked his next scheduled tour the following night. So it's just obvious how important this is.
Wow. I also think, didn't a while back, did Philadelphia have 2 fire apparatus run into each other, sir?
Absolutely. That was earlier, late last year when that happened. And we had all of our firefighters return to duty because they were belted.
Oh, wow. Very good. Super. All right. Well, let's move on to Deputy Assistant Fire Chief Steve Reines. Steve, can you give us a little background on the FDNY's seatbelt experience with firefighters and apparatus?
Sure, absolutely. You know, historically, the FDNY hasn't been wearing their seatbelts. Excuse me. You know, and one of the reasons is, I think it goes back to the New York State motor vehicle law exempts emergency responders from wearing seatbelts. So it was never a big deal for the fire department to push that at the time. And I'm talking, you know, years back. You know, up until recently, seatbelts weren't a priority. But now they are. And we're finding, you know, we're taking baby steps a little at a time, but we're finding at least our chauffeurs are wearing them. And we are pushing constantly every day to try to get the guys to put their seatbelts on. But there are some issues, especially with the older rigs. Like the brand new pumpers and ladder trucks we're getting have better seatbelt configurations that make it a lot easier for the firefighters to don their seatbelt. But some of our older apparatus, they're very, very tight in there, and with the bulky bunker coats and bunker pants and our personal safety system with the rope on the side, it's very, very difficult for the firefighters to do it. So, you know, we're trying to get our seatbelts retrofitted to make it a little more easier for the firefighters to comply with our policy to put our seatbelts on. Because right now, there are many of the apparatus we have, it's very difficult for them. So, you know, and a lot of it is cultural, too, besides that, you know. You know, the idea that many of the firefighters had then, you know, we're out there to save lives. Let's get in the rig and get there as fast as we can. We're not going to take the time to put a seatbelt on. We're trying to change that because if they get in an accident and they get hurt, they're not going to get there to help people, and that's the message we're trying to send. But, you know, every firefighter out there thinks that, you know, it's not going to happen to them. You know, accidents happen, but it's not going to happen to me. And sometimes they feel a little safe inside our apparatus because, especially our roller apparatus, it's very snug in the crew cabs, and they're pretty much in there almost like a roller coaster ride. You know, that's how tight they are in there. And our rigs are well built. They're all made out of steel. And I tell you, many of the accidents we had, the fire truck always comes out ahead, except if it's a cement truck, another fire truck, or maybe an L-pillar from, you know, an elevated subway, that's when we lose, you know, and that's when we're going to try to show the firefighters that, you know, you need to have this, you need it for yourself, you need it for your family, and you need it to continue to do your job. So we're fighting tooth and nail to change the culture and to make it easier for the firefighters to put their seatbelts on.
Well, super. Thank you, Chief. I appreciate it. President Turner, you're kind of representing the whole state of Texas today. So, Guy, what's your perspective in terms of seatbelts and firefighters and apparatus?
Well, I mean, as the entire panel knows, firefighting is inherently dangerous as it is. And if we can take certain steps, such as seatbelt usage, to help minimize some of the risks of responding to and returning from incidents, it's incumbent upon both labor and management to see that we do everything we can to keep our firefighters safe. We had a firefighter in Amarillo in 2005 that was responding to an incident, and as they were going around a corner, he fell up against the door. The door opened, and he was ejected from the ladder truck he was riding, and unfortunately, he was killed. So, it hits a little closer to home when you lose one of your own here in our state of Texas, and that really was the impetus for us to start looking at requiring mandatory seatbelt usage for all our firefighters around the state. And so that's why the Texas State Association of Firefighters has gotten involved.
Well, that's great. I appreciate that. The next question that we're going to just ask everybody to talk about for a minute is what exactly your organization is presently doing to try to increase seatbelt usage? Because I'm sure our listeners, there's probably two camps, those that could care less and those that want to do something, but they need to have some strategies, some ideas in terms of what they can do. So, Commissioner Ayers, can I go back to you? And because I know Philadelphia is trying to do some pretty unique kind of things to get firefighters to buckle up. So if you give us an overview of what your department's presently doing, sir?
Dr. Clark. We've implemented a variety of measures here in the city of Philadelphia. They're all designed to increase seatbelt use. And I'd like to emphasize at this point that our goal is not simply to enforce the wearing of the seatbelts. We could do that. We can go out and write everybody up right away and play the seatbelt cop. But our goal is to achieve 100% seatbelt use due to the enlightened compliance. We want our firefighters and the paramedics to employ seatbelts because they recognize and appreciate the need, not simply because someone is watching them all of the time. We've done a series of online driver training initiatives with the emphasis on the use of seatbelts. All of this is embedded in those initiatives. We've emphasized the seatbelt use and also reinforced throughout the delivery of emergency vehicle operations course, our EVOC course. It's all within that course, and it goes out to all of our incoming fire and EMS recruits as well. The value of seatbelt use is reinforced throughout our driver qualification process. The seatbelt utilization is emphasized and reinforced on any simulation-based training in our newly equipped driver training simulation lab, which we just opened recently. In fact, we insisted on the inclusion of the three-point harness system in all of our simulators, and we have four simulators, and they are so equipped with the same. The seatbelt usage continues to be a recurring theme throughout the department's wide accident and injury prevention program. We make sure that it's emphasized in all of the instructions. And finally, we recently commenced our participation in the National Brian Hunton Seatbelt Pledge Program, which is very important to us.
Yeah, and along those same lines, Chief, didn't you conduct a are in the process of conducting a department-wide, company-wide, shift-by-shift drill or training activity?
Absolutely. It has been implemented. We're in the process of completing that program so that every firefighter on the last platoon has that training.
That's great. Thank you. Deputy Assistant Chief Reynes, I know FDNY has started some processes. Can you share what you folks are doing up there in the Big Apple?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with Commissioner Ayers, too, about we want buy-in from the firefighters. We want them to, just like they get in their private car and buckle their kids up and put their seatbelts on, we want them to do that in the apparatus, too. You know, and that's the message we're trying to get out. But, you know, currently we have an accident reduction program going on where we have company officers go to firehouses and give a PowerPoint drill presentation to the firefighters in the kitchen. Like, you know, let's a relaxed atmosphere. It's field lieutenants and captains that are going out there, guys that they know, guys that they respect, and they're giving the message out there about putting the seatbelts on and being careful when we go through intersections to make sure we're granted the right of way and make sure we get to the fire and not have an accident before there. And it's getting there because as the lieutenants or captains are leaving the kitchen, there's a lot of discussion after the PowerPoint and guys are starting to see that, hey, I should be wearing my seatbelt. And that's the attitude we want. We want them to buy in because, sure, we'll get compliance if we take 2 days' pay from everybody, but that's not going to solve the problem, okay? What we believe is that we want buy-in from everybody, that they're going to want to put their seatbelts on. Just like they take care of their family at home, they're going to take care of themselves in the firehouse. And, you know, not only that, we have a near-miss program, too, that mirrors the national near-miss system. So any accident we have or any near-miss that we encounter, we put that out there to everybody. We also have a pass-it-on program that goes out. It'll just an operation section of what happened and some lessons learned. And anytime there's an accident, anytime someone is, involved in an accident and not wearing their seatbelt, we let everybody know, you know, and that they could have been, they could have averted some serious injury by wearing their seatbelt. So it's constant. It's always let's go. Come on, guys. We want you to put your seatbelt on. And slowly but surely, we see it taking place. Like I said earlier, almost all of our chauffeurs are wearing their seatbelt. We're trying to get the officers. We're trying to get the guys in the back. Our new pumpers, they're ideal. It's so easy to put your seatbelt on. But like I said, the older apparatus, they're very difficult to. So we're looking to see how we could retrofit some of the older apparatus with a different seatbelt so it can be easier for them to do it. So if we make it easy for them, then they're going to wear it. And, I think it's going to happen. It's not going to happen overnight because we didn't get to where we are overnight. But it's just a constant pressure and constant reminders that we're going to make progress. And I feel very confident that we will.
Super, thank you. And President Turner, you know, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you're our labor union representative on the call today, and you represent the great state of Texas. From a labor standpoint, you know, what's the role labor organizations have to play in terms of this important firefighter safety behavior?
Well, although we have the majority of our departments around the state of Texas that have seatbelt use policies in place, there are a few out there that still haven't addressed that issue. And so from a labor standpoint, we're encouraging all our locals to approach management, explain to them that, look, we need to put something in place, some policy in place that will mandate seatbelt usage. And what I'm hearing from Philadelphia and FDNY is that, you know, education is the key. Firefighters are inherently hard-headed, and the older guys especially are harder to reach. But if we start with, you know, in the academies,
talking about seatbelt usage with their younger folks so that when they hit the floor, they realize how important it is. I think that's going to help a whole lot in trying to get these guys, you know, but to pay attention and start using the seatbelts. With our older members, we need to concentrate on their past experiences. You know, we've all made vehicle accidents where somebody perhaps could have been saved if they'd had their seatbelt on. And so we need to drive home that point to these guys, you know, and just keep pounding at them. Say, look, how many accidents have you run on personally where the individual might have survived or would have sustained less severe injuries had they been using the seatbelt. So that's what we're trying to do. It's kind of a three-pronged approach. We're trying to educate our management teams that don't have these policies in place. We need to educate our younger members and then prod our older members into falling back on past practice and past experience so that they can realize that, you know, it is important.
Well, super. Thank you very much. Virginia, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but you get to go to places where they've lost firefighters. And sometimes my experience is, even after losing a firefighter, sometimes organizations don't change their behavior. You know, how do we fix that problem?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. We try to approach through our recommendations from our reports and providing the information to the departments when they're there, but it is absolutely heartbreaking. It's like going back to the same employer who had a fatality in the same family from the same cause, time after time after time. And it is that's why I am personally passionate about it, and NIOSH is so committed to doing what is necessary to help the fire service. And it was interesting to hear Chief Reina say about the chauffeurs, because that's a huge first step. Because when our firefighters notice or talk about seatbelts, it's going out the door, going through the windshield. But the driver also has a better chance of maintaining control in a situation that could have been fatal, that he or she will be able then to control the vehicle, and we will not have such a serious outcome. So through the NIOSH efforts and also working with the apparatus manufacturers for design, as several of the participants have mentioned, to make it more convenient and easier, we recommend that through the maintenance programs, the apparatus maintenance programs, our recommendations include that if the seatbelts are broken or if they're if the warning systems are disabled or if there's some reason why that seatbelt cannot be worn effectively, that be taken care of. We talk about training and enforcing, and as some of the participants mentioned already, and what I try to do when I go out is to give the information and give these statistics that, you know, just will shock you. I mean, I just mentioned about 10, on average over 30 years, 10 firefighter deaths a year. We have 4,000 injuries every year for the past 18 years. So, I mean, that's in varying degrees, but I'm sure some of those were extremely serious and impacted these firefighters and their families' lives forever. So it is really personal, and NIOSH, through our reports and through our presentations and through our outreach, we're attempting to provide any help that the fire service needs from us. We remain ready to assist.
Okay, I know this wasn't a question on your list I sent you, so I'm blindsiding you folks a little bit. But for the commissioner and a deputy chief, if I'm a captain on an engine company and I want to do this, but because the way my fire truck is set up, my guys in the back, they just can't put their SCBA on and their gear. So I'm going to make a policy that engine 10, we wear our seatbelts all the time. When we get there, we'll get dressed, put our SCBA on, and get ready to go. Am I going to get in trouble with for the Philadelphia Fire Department, Commissioner Ayers?
Absolutely not. That's going to be a good instruction for that captain if they ran into a situation like that. The next thing that happens is fleet management. They're going to make sure that they get the proper seat belt installed on that apparatus to make sure that they are sitting in their proper spaces. When they get there, they can pack up. You know, that's what it's all about. Safety first. We need to get them there. As you know, it was really important for us to start that seatbelt pledge campaign. That's the one that allows us to support that captain with the consent, the enlightened compliance, the understanding that this is something that I have to get done by the individual firefighter and that paramedic. Those computer-based exercises that went out, posted on all of the computers, making sure that the members were encouraged to sign the pledge, the encouragement to sign the pledge virtually, and all of the driver training programs, which would emphasize those types of situations, and just making sure that we have some degree of success moving forward towards 100% participation. It's the theme of that initiative will be to personalize those the need to wear seat belts. For example, through our use of personally recorded anecdotes that we have, and that's a part of our program now, where that firefighter or that officer tells some anecdote about some situation that they had where they had a seatbelt incident and it saved a life. And those are the kinds of things that we're going to continue to do. But you wouldn't get in trouble for making sure that your folks are safe.
Okay. The same thing to you, Chief Marinas. I'm on a ladder truck now. And the way my ladder truck is sitting in the back, I'm a firefighter in the back. But with my new escape rope, I can't get my bunker gear on and get my seatbelt on. So I'm not going to put my turnout coat on until I get to the scene. Am I going to catch any flack from anybody?
Absolutely not. That's the kind of attitude we want our company officers to take, to be able to see a problem and be able to fix it so their members, because he's responsible for their safety. Everyone's responsible for their own safety, but the company officer and the captain is responsible for everyone's overall safety. You know, so if he sets a policy to get them there safe, we're behind him 100%.
But what, unofficially, what kind of razzing is the ladder one going to take about not having everything ready to go the second they arrive?
Well, you know what firefighters are like. We're A-type personalities, you know, and they want to get there. We take risks, you know, and that's part of our job. But we're expected to take risks to help people in trouble. You know, that's our job. But we don't want to take any unnecessary risks, and that's the message we try to get through to the guys. You know, again, like if you don't get to the box, you're not going to be able to help anybody. You know, so the first thing is get there safe. Now you can go to work. So if it takes you another 30 seconds to don your bunker coat when you get there, that's not a big deal. So, you know, will they get some razzing? Absolutely. You know, that's just the nature of the beast. But, you know, again, we're trying to get buy-in. In fact, this, you know, safety stand-down week is coming, you know, in a couple of weeks, June 20th it starts. We have a big seatbelt blitz dedicated towards safety stand-down. You know, the theme is fit for duty, but it's also we're doing seat belts and we're doing rehab. We're doing a couple of other things. But, you know, we have new stickers that we put that we had made up. You know, it just says buckle up. It's going to be slapped on the inside of every door. So the reminder is going to be there. As they close the door on the apparatus, it's going to say buckle up. We have a part of we put a video together. We have the groups going out. We are going 110% to try to get our guys to do this. And I see some progress, and it's starting to make us feel good here.
That's great. President Turner, in terms of, we again, this wasn't on your question ahead of time, so if it's uncomfortable, I'll understand. But sometimes we get some pushbacks from some unions that, you know, asking people to take the pledge or to put their seatbelt on, somehow they're going to be held to a higher standard, and that's going to be held against them. And I know that you and your leadership came out in support of the seatbelt pledge. Can you talk about that decision-making process a little bit for us to help other brother union members out there?
Well, I mean, for somebody to take that kind of position, I think is basically indefensible. We're doing everything we can to try and make sure that our members are as safe as they possibly can be. And so, to me, to try and make the argument that I'm going to be held to a higher standard, well, if safety is the higher standard, then I'm all for it. And when we had the discussion amongst myself and the rest of my executive board, it basically became a no-brainer. I mean, we tried to come up with any arguments against it, and quite frankly, Dr. Clark, we couldn't come up with any. And you know, just to touch on the comments that the commissioner and the deputy chief were talking about, as far as bunking out on the scene, you're either going to take the time to bunk out in the station before you leave, or you can do it there. Either way, it's going to take the same amount of time. So, you know, if they've got older apparatus that prevents the usage of seat belts, you know, while they're in your bunker gear and their equipment, well then, yeah, I'm all for taking the time to, when you get on the scene, wear your seat belts to the scene, and then you can don your coat and your SCBA, and then you're ready to go to work. So it's not going to take any longer one way or the other.
Another question to the commissioner and chief. I know both of your organizations are doing, I think it's called afafemoric or something like that. Don't ask me to spell it. In terms of measuring body size and gear and apparatus, kind of a scanning thing. Commissioner, can you talk a little bit about that in terms of what Philly's doing along those lines?
Yes, we're participating in a study to ensure that our apparatus, as we move forward with technology, the advances, the different things that we want to keep the safety of our firefighters at the highest levels. One of those important factors is how they sit in the apparatus. What are they like today? What are the measurements that's required? What are the seatbelt points that give maximum safety? And what needs to happen as far as our apparatus manufacturers around the country? What should they be doing with their engineering to ensure that our firefighters not only arrive safely, but they can start out safely, that they can get into the apparatus, that they can prepare for the firefighter or the event that they're about to face without worrying about getting a seatbelt on, without worrying about not being able to fit in the rear compartment, things like that. What do they need to do to ensure those safe entrances and exits from the apparatus? So it's going to be a comprehensive study, and it's going to be shared with those manufacturers, and we're just proud to be able to participate because it's going to mean the safety of the future firefighters that come behind us and the paramedics.
And Chief Reyes, I know New York's been looking at this stuff. What percentage of your if this is unfair, Chief, please just let me know. The percentage of your apparatus, did you think that the firefighters just physically can't do it as compared to apparatus where they actually can do it, but sometimes they may choose not to do it?
Well, none of our apparatus you can physically not do it. Some are more difficult than the other. So, all our seatbelts work. Some of them are very tight. And, you know, there's a couple of issues. One of them is, all right, let's... a lot of firefighters like to don their SCBA because our SCBA is in the cab and it's in a bracket behind the seat. So they like to put the straps of the SCBA on before they get to the fire. This way they could just step right out and go to the fire. But now once you put your SCBA straps on, you're kind of stuck in there, so it's very difficult to maneuver around with the seatbelt and try to slide your butt over a little bit to try to put the receptacle in, you know? So maybe if we could try to get them, all right, don't put your SCBA on straps until you get to the box, okay? Let's get your seatbelt on. Now you can maneuver a little bit, and you can get your seatbelt in. So it's not that they can't do it. It's that some are more difficult than the others. And like I said, the new apparatus, the new designs are terrific. It's a lot easier for the firefighters to don their seatbelt. So, you know, that's what we're doing because, you know, even on these older apparatus, if we could find a different system or a different configuration that we could retrofit to make it easier for them, I think we're going to go light years ahead with this seatbelt issue.
Yeah. Not to give you all a hard time, but I see a lot of fire trucks coming back from calls no gear on and no seatbelts on. So everybody's worried about somebody stealing my fire when I run that box alarm. But the one you ask them, well, how come you don't wear it riding back? You get this deer in a headlight stare. Sometimes I have a hard time answering that question. Virginia, if we can go to you now, I know and I really do appreciate very much the fact that NIOSH has come out as one of our main national supporters of the National Fire Service Seatbelt Pledge Campaign. Can you talk a minute about how NIOSH came to that decision and why they did it and how you guys are supporting that program?
Well, as I said, back in 2005, Dr. Clark, when you started this effort, I was the investigating officer who investigated Brian Hutton's fatality. So it was very personal and fresh to me, and as being the NIOSH investigator, it was a natural partnership to begin working with you. And then, as I said, to fortify the effort on NIOSH's behalf, we did do a lot of studies and incorporated studies from NFPA and USFA to just determine the scope of the problem and, you know, some possible recommendations that NIOSH would be able to make and support. And over these years, it has just become more and more evidence of how important this is. As a reminder and an incentive to the firefighters to go ahead and follow the program, put the seatbelt on every time. So once they take the pledge, they are folks of their word, and it is a natural progression. But our director, Dr. John Howard, absolutely, I mean, it wasn't even a question, absolutely will sign and will support this effort. So we have just really been on board from day one when we found out that you were beginning this. It's just we, you know, have struggled a little bit with how to best support the effort and how to best to help the fire service in solving their issues. So this is a very encouraging dialogue to hear for me, because I don't think, you know, 3-4 years ago we would have been having this conversation with such encouraging support from the fire service. So I really commend all of you. It's so wonderful for me to be put out of work on this one.
And I want to thank NIOSH publicly for adding their logo to the Seatbelt Pledge campaign. And that brings us to President Turner. I need to give you a thank you publicly, because the Texas State Association of Firefighters is the first state labor organization to come out in support of the National Fire Service Seatbelt Pledge campaign. And any 100% certificate that's awarded in Texas will have the Texas logo on it. So we certainly do appreciate that, President Turner. So how do you think that pledge is going to help those folks in Texas?
Well, it's our pleasure, Dr. Clark, to do so. But like I say, we've still got some work to do down here. We're working very hard. We're trying to get the message out through our newsletter, through mass emails, all these departments, you know, encouraging our membership to buckle up. We remind them that Brian Hutton was one of our own. He was from Amarillo, Texas, on the Amarillo Department. So that hit real close to home, and we keep pointing to that incident saying, look, you know, it's not that that vehicle was involved in an accident. He fell from the rig. So not only is it important to use your seatbelts in case of an accident, but other things can happen to you, and it's best to be secured in that rig. I myself was involved in a vehicle rollover a year ago, February, and I was on a brush truck, and we were trying to scale a railroad track, and the thing rolled over on top of us, and the guy, my firefighter on the back, and myself were riding on top of the rig, squirting water, and my driver was buckled in. We were the only two injured because we didn't have any safety restraint system up on top of that brush truck. But my driver got out of there unscathed because he was buckled up. So I can point to personal experience and say, you know, that's a good idea to have some kind of seatbelt restraint in place when you're operating.
Well, thank you very much. And I believe Commissioner Cassano, did you just join us, sir?
That's right, Bert. How are you?
The question we're asking is, describe your organization's effort to support the National Fire Service Seatbelt Pledge Campaign. And to give you a little credit, when you were only the fire chief in New York City, you signed the pledge just about a year ago now. And now you're the commissioner. So how do you think the National Fire Service Seatbelt Pledge Campaign is going to help FDNY?
Well, I think you know how important the seatbelt issue is to me, because if we have an accident and people aren't wearing their seatbelt and we suffer one career-ending injury, never mind a death, how can we look at ourselves in the mirror and say we did all we could to prevent that? And I think that's what everybody has to do is, do you think you're doing enough to ensure firefighter or EMT paramedic safety in the seatbelt issue? We always seem to have no problem making sure we have the best mask and the best tools and the best equipment, but the seatbelt issue is one that just keeps escaping us. And I think that if this seatbelt campaign gets us ahead of steam, it's going to snowball throughout the rest of the country. That's why I thought with the FDNY jumping on board and helping out, it would help the whole campaign. And I think working together, all of us leaders in the fire service, just have to ensure that we don't take no for an answer. If somebody says they can't wear their seatbelt, and maybe Chief Reyes discussed this already with you, well, then look at the reason why they can't wear it. Does it have to be a modification? Do we have to reach out to the manufacturers? And that's what we've been doing. We've been working with the manufacturers of our apparatus to say, look, we're not going to take what we have now as status quo. We have to look to see how we're going to do better. How do we retrofit if a rig, the seatbelt doesn't work right now the way we want it to work? And working with, you know, my top chief, with the manufacturers of the apparatus, working with the unions, we all got to put our heads together to ensure that every time somebody gets in an apparatus, whether it's a chief's car, whether it's an engine or a ladder or an ambulance or a water pumper, that they have their seatbelt on, and we support that.
Super. I appreciate that. And Commissioner Ayers, it wasn't too long ago I came up and you invited me up to your senior staff meeting, and you took the pledge right there in front of everyone else. I mean, that's an act of courage right there.
Well,
so, you know, can you talk a minute about how you think that pledge is going to be influencing Philadelphia and the surrounding fire service?
Well, we took it, and every one of my staff chiefs took it. We had a meeting, and we all took it, and then we've gotten it out to the field. And, you know, unfortunately, there's been some reluctance in the field to get people to sign this because they think that they're signing a contract that if it's broken, they're going to get penalized and all. We just want the people, when you read the story of that young man and his story of, you know, not surviving an accident because you didn't have a seatbelt on. I mean, that should be enough to drive home the point that you need to wear your seatbelt. And I think that once we get this in place in New York City, it should just filter on down, you know, to the small departments to say, look, New York City, 500,000 runs a year. Every time they get in their apparatus, they buckle up. If they can do it, we can do it. Same thing with our ambulances. You know, we're looking to put restraints inside the ambulance so that when people are working on patients, they have some sort of restraint device that they will be able to safely administer in the back of an ambulance while they are still being restrained with some sort of a harness or something on the line of a seatbelt. And I think if we can do that on 500,000 fire runs and 1.2 EMS runs, I think that should be able to be enough of an incentive for every other department to jump on board.
Super. Yeah. And Commissioner Ayers, as I said, you had taken the pledge just a couple months ago. How do you see the pledge helping the Philadelphia Fire Department?
Absolutely. I agree with the chief. Standing there, taking that pledge, and having your staff take the pledge in front of your senior staff members and allowing them to see how important it is coming from the top. We get an opportunity to, instead of have a peer pressure situation, a peer support environment, where as we start to sign and fill those sheets up, it starts to ripple across the department. And again, a guy stopping and looking at the labor side of it, you start to see that this is for everybody. And it's no lines here. It's not about labor management. It's about saving another human being who puts their life on the line every day to service their citizens. That's our firefighters, that's our paramedics. And this is about just standing together, understanding, in the memory of Brian Hutton that and the others that have lost their lives in a tragic way related to seatbelts, that we don't have to do it. We can go to zero. We can be safe in our operation of our vehicles, but also we can be safe just in case there's something there that we can't avoid or something that we can't see, that we're in place. Everybody understands that we buckle up every day. And we're doing the same thing. We are smacking that buckle up sign on those apparatuses all across this city and the ambulances, and making sure that they get that friendly reminder that not only did you sign the pledge, but we need to take the action. Do it. Click it. Make sure that we do the things that's going to keep us safe.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Commissioner Ayers. And I'm going to give you all your final question here in a moment, but just to give a little plug to the National Fire Service Seatbelt Pledge Campaign. We have approximately 145,000 signatures so far. We have approximately 700 fire departments that have achieved 100% nationwide. Our goal is 1 million signatures and 30,000 fire departments having achieved their 100% certificate. To my knowledge, in the history of the fire service, this is the only campaign that every fire department in the nation can participate in, no matter how large you are, no matter how small you are. Whether you go on 1,000 calls a year in your engine company or one call a year, it's the thing. If you're a 40-year veteran or the rookie firefighter, you can make the decision that you're going to put your seatbelt on, and that's going to save lives. It's going to keep families from losing a loved one. It's going to save a lot of suffering and pain. So that's my final message to the American Fire Service for year 2010 when it comes to firefighter seatbelt safety. Please take the pledge and buckle up. Our last question to my panel is, what message would you like to send to the American Fire Service related to firefighter seatbelt safety for the year 2010? So let's start with Virginia Lutz.
Again, thank you, Dr. Clark, for the opportunity to participate in this. My message to the fire service is just this. If there was something that you could do that took you 30 seconds, maybe a minute tops, 30 seconds to a minute, that would give you a 75 to 100% chance of surviving some unforeseen emergency, like a building collapse or a flashover, you would be sure to survive that, would you do it? Would you take that 30 seconds and do whatever it takes to make sure you walked away from that structure collapse? Would you do it? Please buckle your seatbelt. It's 30 seconds, and it gives you the 75 minimum percent chance, as statistics show historically, to walk away or to not at least not be killed in a crash, and 100% chance of not falling from an apparatus. So I just ask you to continue, sign the seatbelt pledge, and support the seatbelt effort. And I really thank you for everything that you've done, and what we've heard here today is really phenomenal, and I commend all of you.
Super. President Turner, what's your message to the American Fire Service?
Well, we have a saying down here in Texas, Dr. Clark, that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And so what we try to do, or what my message would be, is that, look, if you're not going to do it for yourself, if you're not going to buckle up for your own personal protection, do it for your family. Do it for your wives and your kids, because they're going to be the ones that are going to be left behind to suffer because of your loss and because of your lack of
of incentive to wear your seatbelt. I mean, if your family isn't incentive enough to put it on, then I don't know what is. So, you know, firefighting is dangerous enough as it is. So, you know, if you can help reduce the risk by wearing a seatbelt, you know, why not? Why would you not? So that's just my message, is I'd like to see all of my guys go home at the end of the shift.
Super. Thank you. Commissioner Ayers, your final closing thoughts.
Yes, dedication and service is about doing those things that's going to keep yourself safe, keep your crew safe, and be able to service those citizens that we run to and fro to each and every day. And that means taking that step to buckle up. This is one that we can really take care of. We've already had an impact. You heard very clearly what Virginia gave us as the current statistic. We want to keep it going. And it's no fun milling around the family waiting area trying to see how one of our comrades are going to make out because they didn't do the right thing. So it's better to meet after work and just enjoy each other without having to stop and think what this family member is going to be having to deal with based on one of our comrades being hurt. So, again, peer support, not peer pressure. Let's make sure that we sign the pledge. Let's make sure that we buckle up for safety.
Thank you. And Commissioner Cassano, you're going to get the final word today.
Sure, Dr. Vogt. Those are great comments by everybody. And just to reinforce what everybody has said, I think we owe it to each other, starting with the commissioner on down to the probie, to ensure that we all take the seatbelt pledge. We all sign on to a very simple way of saving lives, as Virginia said. A few seconds to buckle up is just as important as putting on your mask, putting your hood on before you crawl into that fire, because you are responding to many, many incidents, and putting on that seatbelt is going to save many, many lives. We've seen that throughout the country. And I think we should not take no for an answer. We should, if there is a problem with your department in getting your seatbelts put on, well, look at the problem, study it, and find a way to fix it so that you are at least supporting the firefighters and EMTs and paramedics in this program so that they're able to put their seatbelt on. We owe it to each other. Commissioner Ayers says, we don't want to go to a hospital anymore. I'm tired of telling somebody that their husband or their son is seriously injured or maybe dead because we didn't follow a procedure as simple as putting on a seatbelt. It's such a simple way to save lives, and we owe it to each other to ensure that we all take part in this. And I think once we get this ball rolling, it's going to be a lot easier to comply with throughout the rest of the fire service.
Well, super. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining me today. That's Commissioner Lloyd Ayers, Commissioner of Philadelphia Fire Department, Chief Sal Cassano, Commissioner FDNY, Deputy Assistant Fire Chief Steve Reynes, FDNY, Virginia Lutz, Safety and Occupational Health Specialist with NIOSH, and President Guy Turner with the Texas Association of Firefighters. Again, thank you very much. I'm Dr. Burton Clark. This has been Leadership on the Line. Have a good day, everyone. Buckle up.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.